Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Let's get to the Word. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that your Word is alive, living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I don't know every person here tonight, but you do. I don't know what each person is going through, but you do. Lord, I don't know each person's name, but God, I thank you that you do. And Lord, at the end of the day, it's not even about what I say, it's what you do with what I say. So Father, I just pray that you're going to do something significant in the lives of each of your people here tonight. Holy Spirit, have your way and have your say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read tonight from Matthew chapter 15. And my Bible, it says, a Gentile shows her faith. Starting from verse 21. It says, Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Okay, we're going to look at this lady who actually in Mark chapter 7, the same lady is referred to as a Greek lady. So for the purpose of this exercise, I'm going to call her Effie. And this was the situation with Effie. She had a daughter who was severely demon-possessed. Now, who knows what that looked like at that time? I mean, I would imagine that this girl was mentally tormented. I mean, maybe in a 21st century context, she might have been out every night on drugs. You know, she was, perhaps she turned to crime. And as a result, her mother was heartbroken. I mean, this would have brought incredible pressure on the family. I mean, her daughter is severely demon-possessed, and as a result, she was desperate. She was desperate to see her daughter set free. So what does she do? What does she do? She comes to Jesus. Of course you come to Jesus. I mean, he's the miracle worker. He's the one who can do something about it. If anyone can get someone delivered from a demon, it's Jesus. And so this woman comes, desperate, and in front of everyone, she cries out at the top of her voice, her need. She goes, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And what does Jesus do? How does he respond? Verse 23 says, but he answered her not a word. In the Message Bible, it says he ignored her. Great. Here she is. She's just put it all out there. She's calm. Now, everybody knows the fact that she's got a demon-possessed daughter. I mean, she's come to press in, not for herself, but for her family. I mean, she didn't do anything wrong. This is a legitimate need. I mean, she has just gone and opened up her heart, and what does Jesus do? Ignores her. Great. How would you feel? I don't know. Put yourself in her situation. Well, how would you have responded to that? How would you have felt? I mean, I reckon I would have given Jesus the benefit of the doubt. Oh, he didn't hear me. He mustn't have heard me. Because, I mean, if he had have heard me, I mean, he would be moved with compassion and he would have reached out his hand and he would have prayed. I mean, obviously he didn't hear me. But this is what happens next. Because if Jesus didn't hear her, someone else did. Because it says, his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. The Message says, the disciples came and complained. Now she's bothering us. Would you please take care of her? She's driving us crazy. Okay, so if Jesus didn't hear her, the disciples definitely did. Oh, the Jesus' team. I mean, here they are, the definition of compassion. What do? They tell her to rack off. I mean, this is going from bad to worse. First, Jesus ignores her. Strike one. Now, the disciples are telling her to get lost. Strike two. I mean, this isn't a great day. All this woman wants is a miracle for a daughter. I mean, like, what's the deal here? What's the problem? I mean, this is not a great day. Well, perhaps it's going to get better. But this is what Jesus says in response to that. But he answered and says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, now this is bad news. This is really bad news. He's basically saying to the Greek woman, sorry, you don't fit within the terms of my job description because I have been sent to the Jews, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she wasn't born Jewish. Her race is something she is totally powerless to change. Okay, I don't know how you would have felt after Jesus ignored you. I don't know how you would have felt after the disciples told you to get lost. I reckon my Italian mafia blood would have been starting to boil at about that point. But, I mean, I'm here for my daughter, right? I mean, this is not about me. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But now Jesus tells you that, sorry, even if I wanted to, I couldn't help you because I wasn't called to help you. You're a Gentile. I'm called to the Jews. You understand that you're not, this is impossible. The door has just been shut in her face. The door has been shut in her face. That is the worst news she could possibly have got. Now it's totally hopeless because she is powerless to do anything about that. I mean, what would you do at that point? What would you do? Just put yourself in her shoes. You just hit a brick wall. I mean, would you have just, well, obviously this is not meant to be. I mean, would discouragement have gripped your heart? I mean, would embarrassment and humiliation by the fact that the disciples had ridiculed you and that everybody else was looking on and realized that this woman's got problems in her household? I mean, would the rejection have been too much for you? Would you have just started to slink out the door at that meeting that day? Or maybe you would have, perhaps a bit like me, you just would have, you know, told them, your mate, your barbecue, out of here. And you just would have gone back home and thought, well, I'm going to find another means to get my daughter's miracle. I don't know, maybe the disappointment and the discouragement would have been so much, just would have gripped your heart. And maybe you're here tonight and you know what that feels like. It seems that every way you've turned to get your miracle, that you've only wanted to do the right thing, you've stepped out in faith, and yet it just doesn't seem to be working. You don't seem to be getting your breakthrough. That miracle you've been seeking just hasn't come to pass. And I believe tonight that God wants to bring encouragement through the life of a woman who's already been there, to the life of a woman who knew what it was to experience the discouragement, to be told it was impossible, to have the door shut in her face. So what would you have done? Because this is what Effie did. This is what Effie did. It said, this just blows me away. Verse 25 says, then she came and worshipped him. Sorry? Then she came and got offended? No. Then she came to tell them all to get lost? No. Then she came and lodged a complaint to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission? No. Then she came and worshipped. Wow, what kind of woman is this? That in spite of all that rejection, and even though she got hurt by Jesus, by his people, by those around about her, she came and she worshipped, saying, Lord, help me. Do you know what I love about this woman? In spite of everything that she went through, strike one, strike two, strike three, and the door shut in her face, she did not let her situation stop her worshipping. She did not let the pain, the issues, the disappointment, the humiliation, the embarrassment, the fear that would have been rising up in her heart. She didn't let any of that stop her worshiping. I'm telling you something. Sometimes we have the idea that worship is all about good-looking people on a stage under pretty lights, singing great songs. But you know, and sometimes we What's the word? We kind of like eliminate ourselves. Like we think that we don't qualify to be a worshiper because we don't fit into that category. We're not a young, pretty person with a great voice. And I want you to know tonight that although this is so important, and I'm not minimizing, I'm so glad we got pretty good looking, talented, anointed worship leaders. But I believe tonight God wants you to see tonight that there is a place of worship. I mean, it is like this woman exemplifies worship at its most potent, at its most grittiest, at its most earthy. I mean, this woman, in spite of everything that she went through, she comes, and the Bible says she didn't come and bring him, as it were, a song. It says this, that she comes, and one version says that she comes and she kneels, and she says, "Help. Help. Help me. Help me." She doesn't come and worship from a place of strength. "Oh, come, Jesus, check out my faith. Oh, Jesus, see how wonderful my faultless performance is. Oh, Jesus." No, she comes from a point of utter and total vulnerability and brokenness, saying, here is my worship. Here is my worship. Help. Do you know every time you direct a help heavenward, you're worshiping? Every time you come back, no matter what's going on in your life, you're worshiping. Every time you cry out and you look to him and you admit you are God and I am not, you're worshiping. Tonight, you know, I know what it's like to be so stretched emotionally that worship seems totally out of the question. I mean, I know what that feels like. I remember 1996 was a hell of a year. I mean, I've referred to it a number of times over the years because nothing else has come close. 1996, it was just a series of things that just totally sidelined me, just totally come out of left field. I was in a relationship at the time and expecting to be married in 1996, but the relationship broke off and unexpectedly out of the blue, and later that year he married someone else who I knew the day before my birthday. Yeah. Good on you, Vic. And a few weeks after, my father passed away again, unexpectedly. He was like the ox of the family. My mom, who's been like sick for most of my life, is still going strong in her 70s. And my dad, 64, bam. I had a cancer scare myself. It turned out to be benign and nothing to worry about, but I ended up in hospital only a matter of weeks after my dad died. And to be honest, I was never aware of having made, a confession of Christ and receiving the Lord. So I wasn't quite sure where he had gone, and I thought I was about to find out because I thought I might be going there myself. And it was one of those years. But I remember after Dad died, I remember being in church, and I remember for weeks. Now, I was in the ministry at that point. You know, I'm in ministry and, you know, full on for the Lord. And I remember not being able to worship. I just remember it was too painful. I just couldn't get a song out of me. I couldn't. In fact, I used to play a lot of Alanis Morissette at that time because it was the most melancholy kind of angry chick music I could find at the time without feeling totally backslidden. But you might be here tonight and you think, "Vicky, you know, it's hard. There might be some stuff going on, you know, in your marriage. I don't know, maybe something with a family relationship, boyfriend or a girlfriend. You might be going through something tonight and, you know, I don't know, maybe it's physically, you know, when you go through health crisis or someone close to you is going through a hard time and it's breaking your heart. It's really hard. You're seeing somebody destroying themselves. Maybe somebody close to you who's struggling with an addiction. Maybe there's someone, you know, and like Effie, you've got someone in your household or someone you love, you know, and they really need God. They really need something to happen. And it's breaking your heart. And you think, "Oh God, you know, it's so hard to worship. I don't know if I've even got a song left in me." I'm telling you what, if you just turn your face heavenward and you go, "Help, help." In the eyes of God, that's worship. When you continue to come and in your admission of help, you are saying, "God, you are God and I am not." And so she comes and she worships. Oh, well, you think at that point Jesus would have said, "Oh, woman, you are awesome.
This is, you are phenomenal. I mean, look at you. You're coming and worshiping, and even though you've just gone through all that rejection, even though you've got a hard, you know, you've got challenges in your household. But what does Jesus say? He says, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Verse 26. Jesus calls her a dog. Can you believe it? She's just come and worshipped him in the face of her need, in spite of all the opposition, and he calls her a dog. That would have been it for me. I'm telling you, at that point, call me dog. I suffered your mates telling me off. I suffered you ignoring me. I suffered all the public. I'm going home, throwing away my bat and ball. I'm not playing no more. That would have been it for me. Arrivederci Roma, all over Red Rover. Anyone with me? Hello? I can take a few. You can call me call me a dog. Am I the only one? I must be so carnal. I don't know. Anyone relate to this? I mean, who would have been hanging around after being called a dog? Oh, hello? Excuse me? I think you call yourself the Son of God? I don't think so. You know, talking to me like that. I mean, it's the way I feel. I mean, you know, hey, babe, that's the sort of person I am. That's why I married a Christian like him, someone who was actually godly, not like me. And so at that point, this was just a pivotal point in this woman's life, because at that point when she could have spat the dummy, thrown away the bat and ball and said, I'm not playing no more, what does she do? She says this, yes, Lord. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Mate, this woman is extraordinary. I mean, I wouldn't have thought of saying something like that. So in other words, you're right, but she's saying, but beggars' dogs do get the scraps from the table. That's what she was saying to him. So what happens now? There is good news. There is a happy ending to this story. Trust me. It says, and Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. What happened? She got a miracle. She got her breakthrough. After it looking like it wasn't going to happen, strike one, strike two, strike three, strike four, it happened. It looked impossible, but it happened. She got her miracle for her daughter. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You know, when I was preparing this message, I actually prayed and I said to the Lord, Lord, why did you call her a dog? Why did you call her? You know what the Lord said? Does it matter? She got a miracle. Does it matter? She got her miracle. Did that come over well? Some of you look half shocked. Me and God must have that sort of relationship. I was concerned about why the woman was called a dog. And Jesus said, look at the end of the story. It worked out well. Her daughter got healed. She got her miracle. Sometimes we can focus on the things that aren't important. The thing that's important is what Jesus has done, what Jesus is going to do. And I believe tonight, there are some of you, you've had the door shut in your face. You've been given a bad report. It looks impossible. It looks like there's no way. In fact, in your head, you get, like Jamie Malcolm was talking this morning, the argument, this is not going to happen. I mean, there's no way. I mean, that's totally impossible. You know, what it is, I mean, this woman had been given every possible reason not to believe, every good reason not to come back to Jesus, not to stop believing. Right to the very point of being told that her nationality didn't qualify her. I honestly think at that point I'd be thinking, well, there's no hope. There's no hope. If he doesn't minister to people who aren't Jewish, well, then I'm just going to go home. And yet the impossible happened. Why? Because she had a then she worshipped moment. And then she worshiped moment. If she had have left at that point and not come and then she worshiped, it'd be quite a different ending to the story. That would be it. We'd never hear about this woman ever again. I don't know if it even would have made the records in the Bible, because she just would have been a person who got discouraged and,
you know, just went home. But because of her faith and because of her example, she's here for us to be inspired by and to learn from and to realize that when you have a then you worship moment, that you're being positioned for God to do something extraordinary. Even when you don't feel like it, when you're feeling weak, you don't think you've got a song in you, you don't think you could worship if you tried. But God says at your most vulnerable, at your most weakest, even if you're afraid, come and worship afraid. Even when you've been given that bad report, even when everything looks like it's going to hell and back in a handbasket, God wants you to know that at that junction, at that point when you have a choice, come and worship. Then she worshiped. And as she worshiped, God moved. As she worshiped, she got her miracle. As she worshiped, her daughter was healed. I believe tonight that God wants us to have a then she worshiped, a then he worshiped moment. And then we worshipped to come in the face of our impossibilities, the things that look too hard, the things that are breaking our heart, and not necessarily be able to sing a perfect pitch song, but to come with our hearts and to say, help, help.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.